You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. It's your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Tuesday, and I thank you for spending 15 minutes of your Tuesday to join me here on the radio. So we're going through the New Testament, verse by verse. You're going to hear the sermon now, at least the first part of the sermon I just preached this past Sunday at Island Community Church. Unfortunately, my computer went to sleep, like a lot of them do. Had a new computer this week, and it shut off, stopped recording after 20 minutes. So I'm going to go back into the studio here and re-record this sermon, and starting tomorrow. So I was able to get 15 minutes or so. So that's what we're going to hear today. We're in Matthew chapter 4. That's what will be playing the rest of this week. So enjoy part one now of this message here. Let's call it Jesus Overcomes Satan.
By the way, this will be playing on the radio starting Tuesday. And it's a great opportunity, too, for these messages from here go all over Brevard County and up on the podcast. They go all over the world. This will be downloaded by 4 or 5 countries by 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. Unless if I pass out too soon after getting home, then it'll be 6 or 7. We're in Matthew chapter 4 with the heading today, Jesus Overcomes Satan. Been at this 4 weeks. This is chapter 4. If we keep this up, we'll be done in 24 more weeks. Though we're not in a hurry, I doubt we'll continue at this pace of a chapter a week. Another subject heading in my Bible is Satan Tempts Jesus. You know, as an aside, and I wrote it on the handout too, something for you to contemplate. Why tempt Jesus? Why test Jesus? I mean, for Satan to test Jesus is like for you to test me with a plate of steaming broccoli. Don't waste your time. You cannot tempt me with broccoli. You pull up a 2020 red Jeep, though, with a soft top. That's when the twitches start. But you're not going to tempt me with broccoli. Why tempt Jesus? Contemplate that one. Why do it? I'll probably hear 27 different answers. And that's what I want to hear. Because it can only be either one of two reasons. Either number one, he could have sinned if he chose to. Or number two, he did it as an example for you, to show you how to get through it when it happens to you. Where are we at? Chapter 1 gave us the Lord's genealogy. Chapter 2 gave us his miraculous birth. Gave us the Magi who followed the star to Bethlehem, to a demon-possessed king who was desperately trying to kill the Christ child, who himself ended up dying from maggot-infested gangrene of the genitals. to prove the point, mess with the people of God.
Pay for it with your life.
Don't mess with the people of God. I've seen that happen personally to two people that I know here locally in this county. Chapter 3 introduced us to John the Baptist, who was greatly opposed to baptizing Jesus and made the comment, "You should be baptizing me, and you come to me." Also, chapter 3 reveals the Holy Trinity, the Son of God getting baptized, the Spirit of God descending out of heaven, falling on Jesus, the voice of God, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now, as soon as this happens, as soon as the Son of God is fully equipped with everything that he needs, the Spirit of God sends him out. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now, before we go further, I want to pray. And I neglected to pray for something this morning that I needed to pray about. Would you pray with me right now? Lord God, we pray for your wisdom and insight into this chapter. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you'd reveal to us the answer to the question I posed when we got started, and reveal yourself to us in a mighty way in this text as we follow again our Lord, our Savior, and our example for how to do it right, whether it's washing people's feet or being baptized or being in a toe-to-toe battle with the enemy. Help us, show us how to do it right. We also, Lord, we pray for all those in Eastern Kentucky and Tennessee right now that have been severely damaged by this flood that's going on there right now. Lord, people are hurting and suffering right now. When we lift them up, we pray together here as a body here this morning. We pray that you would comfort those that are suffering right now. Help those that are in peril, or those that whose houses are damaged or people's lives might be threatened. We pray for them. We pray you are the God of all comfort. And we pray you comfort those this morning that are in distress. And we pray, too, that you would send out your people to go out, to go there and help those that are in distress, that are in need right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Notice, please, the text doesn't say that Satan led him out to be tested. It says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness all alone to face a trial. Testing is God ordained, not Satan ordained. This is God's plan that you get tested. If God can test his Son for reasons he himself has ordained, don't you think he can test you too? Isn't he allowed to? Will you grant him that? I should say this is God's plan and Satan's plan. But if I were the devil and if I knew it was God's plan to test Jesus, then I would change my mind and not test him, for the simple reason that God wants to do it, right? If God wants to tempt him, then I'm going to change my mind. And I wouldn't want to and not test him. Again, for the simple reason, if God wants it, then I definitely wouldn't want it if I was the devil. Don't test someone. Let him be lazy and complacent. Why test them? That's the end result of not being tested. Lazy and complacent. You know, I say, if the devil was smart, he wouldn't test me. Right? I've heard John Hagee say, "You're so ineffective, you couldn't get a used demon to chase you." Think about it. An untested Christian's got no hoopamone. They've got nothing. They've never had to endure any trials with its pain and suffering. How many people in this church know trials bring pain? About everybody. How many people know trials bring suffering? How many people have ever read Philippians 1:29 that says, unfortunately, I've memorized this verse. To you it's been granted not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. Right. One hand. When you have to, this is why James says, count it all joy when it happens to you. Because when it happens to you, God comes through in a mighty way and you praise his holy name. And then the next time a trial like that comes, you're fully prepared for it. Just like David, who slew a lion and a bear, God did through him earlier in the chapter. Then he runs into someone 9'6" and says, who is this fool? Get him out of my face. That's how this works. God puts you under trials so that you will be strong and trust him. God tests his saints. Think about it, though. A Christian that knows that God is for him can conquer the world. Amen? That's what Paul said. Right? He went through all this list of things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, what shall we say to these things? Once he knew that God was for him and on his side, to use one of my favorite sayings, look out, world. What can man do to me? That's what David said, too. How does that verse go again? When I call out to God, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Psalm 56. When and then. When I call out to God, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. God is for you too. God is for you too. Remember, God tests his saints, and God will use the devil to do it many times. If he can test his son, certainly he can test you as well. Back to verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. I bet. Could you imagine that? Fasting for 40 days? Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, knock it off, devil, before I hit you over the head with this gavel. No, that's not what he said. Let's try.
And unfortunately, that's where we're going to have to wrap this one up here today. But I will be back, and we'll be back here tomorrow on WGOD as I go back to the drawing board to finish this sermon. Unfortunately, we had a rough morning at church. Actually, we had a fantastic morning at church. But early in the morning, my computer died. So I had to use a different computer to record the message. And that computer, it fell asleep after about 20 minutes, which is normally what they're supposed to do. So the end of this sermon, one of my all-time favorites, got cut off right where we left off here today. So I'm going to go back into the studio with my notes and re-record the rest of this. We're going to pick it up right here where we left off in this sermon of how did the Lord respond to Satan. He didn't say, I'm going to get out my gavel. I've got two gavels there in the pulpit. He didn't say, I'm going to get out my gavel. He responded and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where we're going to pick it up. So join us again here tomorrow. We'll be back again. I'll be in the studio with you recording the rest of this sermon to air the rest of this week in Matthew chapter 4.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily.